How you doing, wrestling fans? And welcome to another edition of John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight Podcast, the only wrestling podcast that brings you back 30 years with vintage audio featuring some of the biggest names of that time, covering all the news stories and breaking developments in the business from the year 1992. Joining me tonight, as always, the renowned pro wrestling journalist, the former managing editor of Pro Wrestling Illustrated and so many other landmark newsstand magazines, Mr. Bob Smith. Hey, Bob, welcome back for another week.
I'm so glad to be here tonight because it's like, hey, spring is in the air. Baseball is back. Things are looking up. Things are in bloom, John.
Yes, it's very true. The weather's nice. I did my walk today. It was, you know, comfortably in like 73 degrees, and it was very cool. And it's kind of a weight lifted off our shoulders in comparison to what we had to go through in the last episode, which was certainly not a lot of fun to cover with the scandals. So this week, it'll be a little bit different. We won't have that much anxiety, I think.
I think you're right, because like I said last time out, that was the hardest show I ever had to listen to and pull clips for, because I was like, my mouth was hanging open the whole time, and it wasn't a happy deal. It was just that point in history was really, really rough for everybody involved in the wrestling business, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, this was the week afterwards, and I tried not to dwell on what happened the previous week, even though there was a Donahue show, but it was more of a lighter type of show. But before we get into it, and we'll be bringing on Don Leibel in just a bit, because he has the wonderful time capsule, as we call it today, that'll cover all those events from the week of March 22nd, 1992. So Don will join us in a second. I do want to talk about our Patreon community, which is really a essential part of what we do here at this podcast, because patrons are the folks that really help with the cost of the production of the show. And we keep loading up the patrons each and every week with new content. $5 a month gets you access to the entire Pro Wrestling Spotlight library from that first show in 1989 and even before that with the college shows through March of 1992, with a new vintage show added every single Sunday. You get early access to this podcast and our sister podcast, Matt Memories from Madison Square Garden, which is getting a lot of great reviews. And that podcast covers the house shows at Madison Square Garden from 50 years ago. Right now, we're covering the March 13th, 1972 show. So it's kind of cool to reminisce about that. So that's Matt Memories at Madison Square Garden. That podcast gets released early to all the patrons. And we have levels for all budgets. The bigger the tier, the more you get. We get vintage magazines every month to patrons from 1 a month to 4 a month. Depending on what your level is, we have vintage audio from the early 70s through the 90s. Vintage video, 8mm films, unwatermarked photo sets are also part of our patron tiers. And we do monthly video get-togethers with patrons as well. We'll be scheduling another one for the patrons as soon as I get back from my trip to Florida, which is coming up. I just would like you to go to patreon.com/John Arezzi to become part of the community and relive the history. Check it out. And if there's a level that interests you, just go ahead and join. And once again, it really helps with the production costs of this podcast. This show, we will be covering the episode, which is the actual last show we do with Vince Russo. The partnership kind of falls off a cliff in the days following the broadcast we're going to be reviewing on this show. So that, of course, will be covered with all the ugly details on next week's show. So this is a week reprieve. But for now, this show for March 22nd has a lighter feel to it. And Bob, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, absolutely. And it was a refreshing little sidecar here, as opposed to what we've been having to deal with the last few weeks. And we really needed it, because it's like things were so dark last week. Let's have a little fun. Let's have a little trivia. Let's loosen up.
It's ironic. That's the way I felt 30 years ago. It was like, all right, that was an ugly one. And now let's have, you know, a little bit of a lighter, you know, a lighter tone to it. And that's why I was happy about the two guests that were in the studio with us.
So it was so it was definitely intentional on your part then to provide a more lighthearted week afterwards.
Yeah. I wanted everything to go away. You know, I really did. But of course, you know, the callers, you know, people were still interested in what happened on Donahue and the, you know, what was behind the scenes. And, but I just wanted to kind of turn the page on it. But unfortunately, it just continues. I mean, and then Russo and I splitting up is then kind of overwhelms everyone beginning next week.
Wow. Well, we'll look forward to that. So do you want to get started with our history lesson here?
I'm ready.
So this is from show number 150. This is our show 23 of this particular program. And this show was originally broadcast on March 22nd, 1992. And I'm going to take it right from the top of the show this week. I don't usually do that because there's some effluvia announcements usually. But there's some really interesting things because you guys get into it right from the get-go in this show. And you introduce your guests. And we have a little something in common, John. And we'll talk about that after the clip. How's that?
Sounds good, Bob.
Excellent panel of guests here in the studio with us, and we're going to talk to you about the world of professional wrestling and everything that's going on in and around the wrestling scene. Our special guest tonight, first I want to introduce, direct from World Championship Wrestling here in our studio, he's known as the voice of WCW throughout the United States in the arenas, Gary Michael Capetta. Gary, how are you?
How you doing, John? It is great to be here with you on 1050.
Well, it's great to have you here in New York City, and we're all pretty much troopers tonight, braving the weather, and it was a pretty rough go of it getting in here. And on my right here, Michael Mansky from Worldwide Entertainment Marketing, and Mike, the producer of the classic series of wrestling cassettes called Wrestling Classics.
Hi, John. Good to be back again, and great to see Gary again, too.
Yeah, you guys go back a ways, right?
A long time.
This is like an old boys club, you know? These two guys, John and Rezzy, with the most explosive wrestling radio show in the country, and on top of things, in fact, I think we have to come up with an appropriate middle name for you, John, like the Bloodhound, or, you know, always there. If there's late-breaking news, yeah. John and Rezzy is there. And Mike Mansky is the man who wrote the very first full-length article on me.
Very extensive interview we did in Wrestling Review Magazine and Wrestling Wonders.
So we all go way back, right?
Well, we're here as old chums from years ago. Hey, you know, I was on Bill Mazur's show this week here at the station, and he was talking about the way he was a commentator for wrestling at one time, and I said,
right.
Hey, you know, Bill, I got there's a videotape out there with your commentary on it, and it's by Wrestling Classics, the Tolles Brothers.
That's right. And, the Tolles Brothers in sort of a one-sided match against Bob Nandor and Chet Wallach.
Yeah, he said, well, you're not going to use that against me, are you? You're not going to give that to anybody. So, yeah, I'm talking to Current Affair about giving them the tape. But anyway, we've got an exciting show lined up for you. We're going to take your calls and comments here at 212-477-5610. And we're going to give you something to think about right now. We're going to give you trivia questions as the night goes on. And, Mike, we're going to give them the first question. And
Hey, first question, the prize for this will be two videos, Wrestling Classics Volumes 1 and 2, featuring Buddy Rogers, Anthony Narocca, and a host of others. And it's a multiple-choice question that you can think about as John goes on to Gary and other things. Multiple-choice of 8 tag teams I'm about to name, which team did not hold any version of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Tag Team Championship? Which team did not hold the championship? Louis Cerdan and Tony Parisi, Dr. Jerry and Crazy Luke Graham, Pedro Morales and Bob Backlund, Dr. Bill and Dan Miller, Gorilla Monsoon and Cowboy Bill Watts, Argentine Apollo and Miguel Perez, the Tolles Brothers, Gorilla Monsoon and Killer Kowalski. That's 8 teams. 7 of the 8 held the belts. 1 didn't.
I already know the answer, but I'm not going to spit it out, obviously.
And later, by the way, we have some Gary Capetta trivia questions, too.
I'll get the answer out of you. I'll get it out of you, John.
He'll get it out of him. I'll tell you what right now, that was a tough, that's a tough question right there. I like that question. Mike comes up with these, really yeah. interesting topics, and that's a good one.
Now, yeah, it was, John, it was really cool.
You and I have something a little bit in common, and I had no idea until I heard this show. I was encouraged to come to the New York City area by a couple of old school sportscasters. One was Bill Mazur and the other was Bob Wolf.
Oh, wow. Bob Wolf, Channel Long Island. Wasn't he a Long Island News 12 guy, too?
Yeah, and he also was working for MSG Network late in his career. And that's when I got to meet him. You see, before I started in wrestling, I was a sports writer and a sports editor. I was actually a member of the Basketball Writers Association. I covered Knicks games and New Jersey Nets, and I got a chance to dabble in Major League Baseball a little bit. And I got to meet these guys just through, you know, you meet them in the commissary. You know, you have a bite, you shake hands, and they both encouraged me to, you know, I told them my story. I didn't really have college for my journalism career. I just kind of fell into it. And they were like, don't let that deter you from coming down to New York City. They both said the same thing. It was like, you should really set your sights on getting down here. And that really was an impetus for me moving from upstate New York into the city. So I owe them a little bit of thanks for the encouragement. They were really nice gentlemen, both of them, just tremendous guys. And I used to love Bill Mazur's Channel 5, 10:30 Sunday night sports show.
Extra. Yeah, Sports Extra. Sports Extra.
That's right. So yeah. Here's to Bill Mazur and Bob Wolf. We miss you guys, and they're just total gentlemen and real pros.
Yeah, just a quick note about Bill Mazur with all the sex scandals that the stuff we were covering. Bill brought me on his show a few days after those sex scandals, and I was on that show, and I heard the show because I was going to put it up for patrons, after listening to it and some of the things that were said on that program, I decided that I'd use caution and not put it up for patrons because there were some really, you know, I was not in a good frame of mind, and I kind of, you know, let out a little bit more than I really should have. So unfortunately for the patrons, even though being with a legend like Bill Mazur would have been great for people to reminisce and hear, I just didn't feel comfortable putting that up. And especially when we were talking about Vince McMahon and Mazur was then like, get Randy Gordon on the phone. And of course, Randy, who was a big wrestling writer and with Stanley Weston for a lot of years, they were attempting to get Randy on to talk about why Vince McMahon still has a license in New York with all this stuff going on. But Randy refused to come on live on the show. So it was just kind of an ugly thing. I wasn't happy with some of the things I said on it. You know, like we said, you know, a lot of these things were allegations, and you know, on a legal standpoint, I really didn't feel comfortable putting it on for patrons. So, but anyway, it was great to be with Bill Mazur. So anyway, let's get back to it.
Did you find Bill to be as warm and just generally friendly as I did? Because Bill was really kind to me.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was great. I mean, he was great. I mean, he treated me great with a lot of respect, and of course, I always had admired him because of what a legendary sportscaster he was in the New York market, and he was also a guy that that did play by play for wrestling. And, you know, maybe that's a clip I could play because he broadcast, he was a play-by-play guy for wrestling for several years.
And I believe he worked in Buffalo. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And that show was a studio show. Mm-hmm. And he was great. He was really excellent. He was really into what he was calling, I think. And that may surprise people who just knew him as a sports personality. And
right.
He also did the Channel 5 nightly sports news too on the news show.
Yes, he
so,
did.
So that's how I got to know him. I just thought he was pure class. I really did.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it was kind of funny because when I was on that show with him, I brought up the fact that he told me he was a wrestling announcer. I said I'm aware of that because I've seen matches that Michael Mansky actually put out on his series of tapes of him calling the action several years even prior to 1992. But it was kind of a cool thing for me to be part of that show. I was excited about just kind of taking a deep breath and letting the, Gary Capetta have a part of it. And of course, Michael Mansky, who's a dear friend, and even Russo, where I were kind of getting along that day, although the shit hit the fan the following day.
Yeah. Well, you know who else you let on the show, John?
Don Who is Lible. That? Yes.
Yeah. And it's news capsule time, just like it was every week. And we have redubbed it the time capsule because it was so freaking long ago. But you know what? There was so much going on. And Don, one of the things I liked about Don's news segment was that he found, I don't know how you found this, Don. You found these little nuggets of news that weren't just match results. You found out things about guys going from one federation to the other. You must have researched like crazy to get all that stuff into 3 minutes every week.
I enjoyed it. I always treated it as if I was writing a regular news story, if I was on the radio doing news. I was just telling John today earlier, and it was such a wonderful era, and we were running so fast, going so many shows, meeting so many of the boys, that it was just nonstop, go, 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 enjoying every minute of it. And you look back and go, well, how did I make it through some of that stuff? But I asked so many questions with people. Guys would talk about things in a dressing room or just at a meal and stuff. You'd always get good nuggets from the boys. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because it's like, you know, as we discussed on the show earlier, my tack with wrestling was kind of yours is in that I was looking at it from a business and wrestling psychology perspective. That was my interest. You, on the other hand, got to know a lot of the wrestlers probably more intimately than I did. Did you, and I'm sure you found that just getting to know them helped you gather news in an odd kind of way, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. See, I had like Tito Santana, and I had Nikolai Volkoff from New Jersey, Maryland. They would have things to say. Then I had Rick Martel. Anything that went on in Canada, I'd hear from there. I'd be in New England. All the guys there, many of the guys there worked as jobbers on WWF TV at the time. So there was always stories to hear there. Of course, I was always there with the great Killer Kowalski, who would hear this and that. So there was always fresh flow of news going around. I can remember many times I would call Walter Kowalski once a week. I would call him every Monday morning at 7 a.m. And I'd call him at 7 a.m. because every Monday for a couple of years at around 6 a.m., Howard Finkel of the WWF would call Walter. Walter had a weekly column in the Boston Globe. And basically, Walter didn't know anything that was going on in the wrestling business per se, unless somebody told him. But all the news that he got was from Howard Finkel, who then put it in. Walter just typed it up or had someone type it for him, and they put it in the Boston Globe every Sunday. So I had to get a lot of information from that at 7 a.m. right after Walter got it at 6 a.m. So it was always something, always a lot of fun.
Wow.
One thing about you, Don, is the you know, the diligence that you put into everything that you do, even to this day.
Sure.
When you want to find somebody, you find them. When you want to get information, you have a way of getting that information. And you are really a true reporter. I mean, this is what you've done all your life.
That's the way I treat it. Yeah. That you had mentioned, Bob, about getting to know the guys. I found that the greatest reward, the best compliment when I got to know the wrestlers personally, because, as you know, around the show, there's always 100 people trying to do things with them or promise them this and that. But I was so fortunate to go to the shows, work some of the shows with them, go out afterwards, stay with some of them. And to me, that's the greatest reward, that I had their respect. And I never took that lightly.
Yeah. And, you know, with the wrestling world, that's not easy to achieve.
Sure.
It's really not, because that wall was always up.
Sure. Sure.
You know, in that era, anyway, the wall was always up. You know, I hate the word kayfabe, but, you know, people would look at you coming in a locker room. The first thing they think is kayfabe if they didn't know you.
Sure.
And that's all changed now, thankfully, I guess. But it was a hard world to crack into. And you were really inside of it like crazy. So why don't we see what we go ahead.
Let me tell you a really quick story. I can remember when you say kayfabe, I was in Holyoke, Massachusetts. WWWF had a show there. This was around 1976 or so. And I came in there with a friend of mine, and we were meeting with Kevin Sullivan. And I was just tagging along. And one of the referees came out who worked for Angelo Savoldi, who that was his town. And it's the referee's name, he went by the name of Freddie Sparter. And he saw me by the dressing room door with another friend of mine. And he said, "What are you doing here? You don't belong here." And I had said to him at the time, I was about 17, 18 years old. And I said to him, "Hey, I'm no kayfabe." And he goes, "Kayfabe, what do you mean? What do you mean?" And I literally ran. And for half the show, I hid under the bleachers in the armory there because I was afraid they were looking for me. Because he wanted to know what did I know about kayfabe. And remember now, this is like 1976, 77. So it's a big difference how it was looked upon at that time. And I literally was scared and hid underneath the bleachers at the show.
Yeah, you're like in this hidden little secret world, and all of a sudden you discovered like a catchphrase or a word that was kind of like not a lot of people knew about it unless you were deep in the wrestling business.
Sure, sure.
They were going to put you in the room with the hot spotlight on you and have Angelo Savoldi
come in with
Coogie McFarlane and Phil Zacco and Jazzo the Clown.
Jazzo.
Who worked at Boston Garden? They were all going to interrogate you about kayfabe. But yeah,
what a crew.
Interesting memories for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're like me, you'll be trying to find easy ways to live life a bit greener and do your bit for the planet. Well, have you thought about taking the train? You could sit back and enjoy some me time with a book or a film, or get some work done and do your bit for the environment too. Each train takes up to 500 cars off the road, meaning less carbon emissions, cleaner air, and fewer traffic jams. So next time you're planning a trip, go green and take the train. nationalrail.co.uk/green.
All right, so shall we go back 30 years, see what was going on?
Yeah, let's do it. What's
30 years? 30 years to the week, gang. This is exactly what was going on 30 years ago.
Don, take it away.
Thank you very much, Scoop Arezzi, and good evening, everyone. Leading off tonight's capsule, well, the World Wrestling Federation continues to dig out among the mountains of allegations dumped on it, from steroid abuse to sexual harassment. Now, last week's People magazine and Monday's Phil Donahue television show covered those topics, and according to sources, Tom Cole, one of the ring boys who was alleged to have been sexually harassed while in the company of WWF employees back in 1985, has come to an agreement with Titan Sports for a reported $70,000 back wages and has rejoined the organization. And the word is out that Hulk Hogan's appearance at WrestleMania on April 5th will indeed be his last for the Federation for an indefinite period. Now, Hogan is said to be relocating to Hawaii after the big show next month. Turning our focus on to mad happenings in the WWF, Kevin Kelly and Demolition Crush are now on the talent roster, so says the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly. In World Championship Wrestling news, former promoter and member of the National Wrestling Alliance Board of Directors Jim Crockett Jr. was fired last Tuesday. Philosophical differences between he and Booker Dusty Rhodes are the reasons being given by the company for the actions taken. There is a clause in Crockett's contract prohibiting him from working for any other wrestling promotion for the duration of the contract, so look for Jim to continue receiving checks. And if you have been expecting to see Kevin Sullivan reappear among the employed of WCW, think again. K. Allen Fry, WCW vice president, claims no such deal has been or is in the process of being hammered out. Now, Sullivan is currently wrestling for the FMW promotion in Japan. Videotapers, warm up your machines, because this Thursday evening on Philadelphia's KYW TV show Evening Magazine, our own John Arezzi will be the focus of a segment concerning the current state of affairs surrounding the wrestling game. Mike Shaw, a.k.a. Norman the Lunatic, and currently appearing as Aaron Grundy for Mexico's EMLL promotion, has had his bookings lengthened through mid-May. Wrestling south of the border since January, Shaw has been appearing in mainly tag contests as the brother of Solomon Grundy. And finally, dusted off from our results vault, the year 1978, 14 years ago today in Bangor, Maine, Andre the Giant was victorious over Butcher Vachon, and Bob Backlund successfully defended his WWF crown, winning by DQ over Spiro Sarion. For Pro Wrestling Spotlight Enterprises, I'm Don Leibel reporting. Capsule time, 10:13.
Okay, Don, how's the station coming? Coming clear tonight, or a little bit fuzzy because of the weather?
A little bit fuzzy. We've got about 8 inches of snow fallen since 4 o'clock, so it's not just down there by you. But hey, I'd like to take a crack at that trivia question, if I may.
Okay, Donnie.
You could keep the tapes and give them to another listener, but I'm going to say Luke and Jerry Graham.
No. Luke and Jerry Graham were the tag team champions.
That's right, Don. You should know better.
They won the U.S. tag team title in the WWF from Don McLaren and Argentina Apollo. And they held it for about a year.
It
for
hurts.
A year, Donnie.
It hurts.
Donnie, a whole year.
He was snowed in for a year. That was the problem.
You know, John, I would like to direct a question to Gary there. Just to refresh my memory and perhaps some others, Gary, that would be interested. Now, if I'm not mistaken, when Buddy Wagner, who for a while was doing the television announcing, ring announcing on WWF telecast, when he had passed away, I believe the following taping, they gave a tryout, I believe, to three people, and you were one of them.
What I remember about that was I had worked for the... Well, I think no one's ever worked for the WWF, but I was a casual laborer for the WWF for 2 years, mostly in New Jersey, and doing high schools and colleges, and I learned my craft from doing those shows. And then in July of 1976, Buddy Wagner passed away, and I was asked by Gorilla Monsoon, who at the time had more extensive interests, business interests in the WWF, to come in and to do it for them. I think there was myself and one other fella.
I do know who, of course.
Oh, tell me.
Ed Darien, who's a very talented boxing announcer in Atlantic City, and was years ago involved with roller games, and he is really the voice of boxing now.
But I don't recall a third.
I don't either. I don't recall a third either.
But that was the history of that. Real nice talking to you, Don.
Looking forward.
I was serious.
I'm looking forward to going to the Worcester show next Saturday night in Massachusetts. WCW is coming up there, so hopefully it'll have a good crowd.
I'll be there, and I hope you come up to say hello.
Look forward to it.
Okay.
Have a good show, guys.
Thanks, Don.
Bye, Donnie.
First time I saw Gary Michael Capetta on television, I went, "Who's this?" Because I was the Joe McHugh guy. You know, we all were that watched the WWF in that era, and he did a great job, and he worked for everybody. Here's a little trivia. He was the ring announcer for the, I think they called themselves the NWF, Paul Heyman's first promotion. Hmm. He was the play-by-play man of that Jersey-based. Was that Bob Raskin? I can't remember who ran that. Am I right?
Yep.
They brought in all kinds of talent. The Road Warriors and Superstar Graham and Abdullah. And they ran the New Jersey and upstate New York. They actually had a show on in Albany, New York for about 6 weeks.
In Colony, they had a live
Colony,
show.
Colony, exactly right. I was there. I went to those shows.
Well, news capsule. World
class ran that arena too. They actually brought World Class Championship Wrestling to Albany, New York. Don't ask me how they did that. But they did that. It was crazy era back then.
Oh, yeah. But that news capsule was interesting to listen to. I mean, not just, the Kip Fry situation with him letting Crockett go, because that was like the power struggle was getting hot and heavy there. And Kip was going to be let go not too long after that. I believe within the next couple of weeks that Kip was out. And... or had been reassigned within the organization. And there was a lot going on behind the scenes in WCW at that time. And, with Kip had just come in and now he's on his way out. So that was going on. And so there was a lot. The Philadelphia Evening Magazine show, which was taped, and that was going to air. So there was a lot in that capsule there, Don. There was a lot going on.
There were so many places to get news from or to chase after a story because there was, you know, obviously more than just one promotion or two promotions. So it was exciting. And just to mention about Gary, I remember the energy he would bring to the ring, not only how he said his name, you know, those three words that he would say and the way his body motion, he would have energy and like, almost like Jimmy Lennon in California, where he would move his body up and get all excited. He had a lot of energy. That's what I remember him best as. And I enjoyed from the first time I saw him on WWF TV to the live shows. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when he was with WCW, he was under a contract with them, a regular contract as far other than just going from show to show.
Yeah, I believe that was the case. And you and I, we had a discussion earlier today about Gary, and you were just saying how Monsoon and that whole New Jersey clique of the WWWF at the time, or WWF at the time, Monsoon was probably more instrumental in bringing him in than anybody else.
Sure.
So, yeah, good news capsule, Don. Always something going on in the business, as there was 30 years ago. And now the time capsule is closed for another week. Mm-hmm. But we got lots more to cover there.
Yeah, but, you know, Don, like I always say, his time capsules were like 2 to 4 minutes long, and they had an observer's worth of news in them. I don't know how he did it, how he crammed all that stuff into that tiny little... Well, you know, you guys got really succinct when you went to the station.
Yeah.
To the Manhattan station, because it's like you had an hour instead of two, or an hour and a half, or whatever your old time, and you had to get it in there. You had to really punch it.
Yeah, 50, you know, it was 50 minutes of content, 10 minutes of commercials typically, and there wasn't not a lot of time to put everything in. That's why when we did the two-hour broadcast the week previous, that was kind of cool, and we had so many shows at WGBB that were 2 hours, and people loved that two-hour broadcast, but there was never – we never seemed to have enough time with the hour broadcast.
Yeah, you obviously you had to gloss over points you wanted to make and just.
Oh, yeah.
But at other times it was so seamless, you would go right from one guest to another, and you would really have a nice pace and a good flow. So you did the best with what you know with the time you were given, I guess.
Yeah.
But I know it was a lot of stress, you know, in another way, in addition to all the old ways.
Yes, there was a constant stress, and you know, and the kettle was going to blow its lid next week. So let's enjoy this jovial time before we have to go into that next week.
Yeah, well, you know, we're talking about Mr. Vince Russo, and he's going to bring in a couple of surprise callers. And I have to admit, one of them I'm really impressed with. And I was impressed with him at the time, but let's listen and, you know, let's see what these two newcomers have to bring to the table, shall we?
Got it.
You're next, Anthony.
Yeah, hello, John. How are you doing?
Where are you calling from?
Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, what can we do for you?
Well, first, I'd like to congratulate you on all the work that you're doing exposing the scandals that are going on in professional wrestling.
It's not something I particularly enjoy, but it's something I feel has to be done.
Right. Well, you're doing a good job on it, though, letting us know what's going on out there.
Thank you.
And I'd like to take a shot at the first trivia question.
Sure.
Go right ahead.
Is the answer Gorilla Monsoon and Killer Kowalski?
No, they were the tag team champions. They won it from Skull Murphy and Brute Bernard and lost it to the Tolles Brothers.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Right. 1963.
Wait a second. We got a bulletin coming in from Vince Russo.
I hate to interrupt the show here, but we have two surprise callers on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And what line is that?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, this is Marcus Alexander Bagwell, the new rookie sensation with WCW.
Marcus, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Nice to hear from you.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Where are you calling from?
Hey, we're in Kansas City.
All right.
We just got done with our matches, and we are here in Kansas City.
Happening.
What are you guys up to, man?
We're here talking about the Meadowlands now. You're going to be making your debut at the Meadowlands coming up on the
31st. Hey, my first shot at the Meadowlands.
And he's got the tailor-made man at the Meadowlands. The
tailor-made man could be in trouble at the Meadowlands.
What's going to happen, Marcus?
Hey, I'm going to teach him a lesson.
Yeah?
Hey, you know, you can't take nothing away from Terrence Taylor. He's been around a long time. He's a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give him my best shot. We'll see if I come out on top.
Can I give you a little bit of advice?
Yeah, you can.
Well, I'm going to give you advice for you to get advice and talk a little bit to the natural Dustin Rhodes and the Stinger, because I think they've tangled with him before. Maybe it'll be helpful.
I tell you what, you know, the Stinger and Dustin Rhodes have been really helping me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're there for me, you know, and they've been, you know, I'm the new rookie. I'm going to find my way from the bottom, you know, but they're helping me out a lot on the way to the top, you know.
There's one reason for that, Marcus, and I think all the fans will agree that because they can see something special in you, they can see how much you've advanced in such a short period of time, how dedicated you are to the sport of pro wrestling.
Well, I really appreciate it. You know, I've watched it since I was a little kid, and it is my goal to be the top. It's every wrestler's goal to be the world champion. And it's great to know that a world champion like Sting is taking me under his wing and showing me the ropes a little bit, you know?
I second that, but Ladies and gentlemen, if you have an opportunity to see Marcus Alexander Bagwell at the Meadowlands on Tuesday, March 31st, be there.
That's right, guys. Hey, maybe I'll show Terrence Taylor a few lessons.
Well, we're looking forward to that show, the 31st of
March. Hey, I got somebody right over here.
Okay.
That's ready to talk to you guys, too, okay?
Another surprise guest. Bring him on.
Hold on 1 second.
You can also see Gary Capetta live at the Meadowlands.
Hello there. Who am I speaking with?
John Arizzi speaking.
John Arizzi.
We're here with Gary Michael Capetta and also Mike Omansky.
Gary Michael Capetta's there?
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble.
Is he there? He's the greatest announcer of all time, and he's so pretty. He's almost as pretty as me. How you doing there, Gary?
All right, Johnny.
You're up in New York right now, huh?
How did you do? Yeah, I'm in New York. How did you do in Kansas City tonight?
Oh, I did great. The fans out here are just great. I just love it out here in Kansas City. See all these beautiful Western girls. I'll tell you, I'm having the time of my life.
I saw Johnny B. Badd two nights ago in Topeka, Kansas, and I'm still picking confetti out of my hair.
Well, you know something, Gary. I'm so outrageous, it's contagious, baby.
Johnny, we were talking before the show. I think you've got the world's best entrance to the ring in the wrestling business.
Oh, hush, Johnny. You're flattering me to death now. Well, I tell you one thing. When I walk out there to that ring, I have so much fun with them people. The people, they hear my music playing, they stand up, they start cheering and dancing. And I tell you, one of the biggest parts of being a professional wrestler is seeing a smile on them people's faces. And the more I see that, the more it gets me psyched up to come out there and do my thing.
Now, John, you know, I know that Johnny B. Badd is, he is humble in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
On the surface, it doesn't seem so. But I want all of the fans to know that Johnny B. Badd, when he is not wrestling and he's not traveling, he takes his time and he goes out to many children's hospitals, veterans' hospitals, talks to kids. And, Johnny, why don't you tell them a little bit about a couple of the groups you just...
Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing. The one thing is being a professional wrestler, being in the position that I'm in today, I feel that it's my duty to give something back to these people. The reason I'm in this position is because of these wonderful people out there. And if you can't give something back to these people, you don't belong to be a professional.
Amen.
And that's one thing about being professional is giving something back. I love those kids. Those kids, some of these kids I see in hospitals and in children's homes, and I even go to senior citizens' homes.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, the one thing they all want is they want hope, and there's something you can go and you give your share, you give your time, and you give your love to these people, and they'll give it back to you because these people love you, and I love them.
Well, we're looking forward. We might as well make the announcement right now that you'll be in town for the weekend, April 11th and April 12th, Saturday and Sunday. And my partner Vince Russo out there has a store called Will the Thrill Videos, and Johnny B. Badd will be making an appearance there on Saturday, April 11th. And then on Sunday, April the 12th, is our next big live remote at the Press Box in Bay Ridge. And we're happy to announce that Johnny B. Badd will be our special guest for this big live remote from the Press Box Cafe in Bay Ridge on 4th Avenue on the 12th.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to coming to New York and seeing all them crazy people out there. Those people aren't lazy. They're crazy, baby. And I'll tell you, I want everybody to be there and be bad, baby.
Maybe we should have a Johnny B. Badd lookalike contest.
Ooh, I think I like that. I don't know if you're going to find anybody as pretty as me, but you never know.
I'll get my feather bow out of my closet. I have one.
Oh, hush, Gary.
But this is a real good surprise, you guys calling in like this. And
well, you know, we love your radio station. You guys really do a lot for professional wrestling, and it's nice to talk to someone who knows something about professional wrestling.
Well, we're certainly hopeful that WCW, even though it's going to be a little bit of a blow here losing the Meadowlands, but we're going to start a campaign here. It's time to end the monopoly in New York City with one wrestling promotion. It's time World Championship Wrestling is allowed to be booked into Madison Square Garden, and we're going to announce here on the show next week a campaign to write letters and try to get WCW booked into the Garden, because it's a long time coming, and
I think
the promotion deserves
it. Because I'll tell you right now, I believe it with all my heart that WCW is now the present and the future of professional wrestling, and the one thing, Johnny B. Badd is going to be a big part of that. And I'll tell you one thing, we will get in the Garden someday, and you will see the bad man doing his thing, baby.
Okay.
I didn't even know Johnny was going to call in tonight. I'm glad I wore my tuxedo, because he likes me in my tuxedo.
Gary, I want you to know I just love you to death. You are the greatest announcer of all time, baby.
But I'm not the prettiest.
Well, Gary, that's okay, because you know there's only one pretty man in World Championship Wrestling, and you're talking to him on the phone, Johnny B. Badd.
All right, Johnny. Nice seeing you. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, Johnny, thanks for calling in, and good luck to you and Marcus Alexander Bagwell. We'll see you both up here the 31st.
And I'll tell you one more thing. I'm a bad man.
Yes, indeed.
God bless.
Good luck to you.
Bye.
Okay, very special surprise here tonight, and Marcus Alexander Bagwell and Johnny B. Bad gracing the airways here at WEVD. And speaking of the Meadowlands, we could take another break here, and we're going to tell you, Gary, why don't you take it away and tell folks out there what's coming up on March 31st.
I'm ready, John. It's World Championship Wrestling returning to the Meadowlands on Tuesday night, March 31st at 7:30 p.m. with a great lineup featuring all the great superstars of World Championship Wrestling. See the new WCW World Heavyweight Champion Sting defend the championship against United States title holder Ravishing Rick Rude with Paul E. Dangerously. Also, ladies and gentlemen, World Tag Team Championship, the Steiner Brothers meet Arn Anderson and Beautiful Bobby with Medusa in their corner. In a special lights-out match, it's over-the-top cage match. The Natural Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham team up and try to stop Stunning Steve Austin and Larry the Cruncher Zbyszko. In a special attraction for the WCW Light Heavyweight title, champion Flyin' Brian defends the belt against Richard Morton. Also on the card, the unpredictable Cactus Jack faces Johnny B. Bad. Heavy Metal Van Hammer meets Big Van Vader and more. Tickets are on sale now at the box office, at the Meadowlands Arena, and also all Ticketmaster locations. That's WCW at the Brendan Byrne Arena at the Meadowlands, Tuesday, March 31st at 7:30 p.m. Don't miss it.
I don't know whose idea it was to let Gary read an ad copy, but that was brilliant. That was great.
Yeah, I mean, he was in there. He's an announcer. I gave him a little extra something to do.
Now, that voice. I don't know who came up with the idea to do a Little Richard character in 1992, okay? Terrible idea. But let me say this. Mark Merrow really worked that character. He was a good wrestler. I think he was spectacular with the voice, with the visuals. He did a great job, I thought. I really did. And I got a chance to talk to him soon after he made his debut for a while at a press thing that Craig Peters and I attended. And I was so impressed with the guy. How could you not be? Fantastic athlete, real-life boxer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did he come from? What other promotion before WCW? I don't seem to remember.
I don't know if there was one. He may have been,
I don't remember.
I think he literally, him and a couple other guys, I think actually made the wrestling debuts for WCW. I think around that time, remember?
He might have been one of them.
Remember Sergeant Craig Pittman?
That
was another guy from that era who I don't think had any experience before he made his WCW debut. I could be wrong about that, but if they had experience, I don't know where. I really don't. Hmm.
Okay, my biggest recollection of Johnny was obviously him being booked for this live remote, which we're going to cover. But it was who his wife was at the time. Rena was her name, who later became Sable and is currently Mrs. Brock Lesnar. But it was kind of, she was gorgeous. I mean, this was before going into the WWF and the enhancements that were done, you know, the plastic surgeries and such. And she was always gorgeous, but I negotiated with her to bring him in. You know, she handled all of his business and personal appearances and such. But it was good interaction with her, and I'm trying to remember because obviously that weekend that we're going to be covering in a few weeks, 3 weeks actually, he made the appearance at the press box. It was a great live remote, and he was supposed to be at Russo's Video Store the day before. Now, I don't know if I booked him then at LNS Comics because I had an appearance with him in LNS Comics. It could have been that weekend or it could have been sometime after that. My memory is not that clear on it, but the biggest memory was like how quick he was and how great he went over in that live remote that we're going to be covering, but also just how strikingly beautiful and personable Rena was. I mean, she was incredible.
Yes, I met her backstage at a WCW show, and yeah, we were all blown away. She was a spectacular looking woman. I don't know how else to put it. She's just And I mean, and she really stood out, and I could see why she became a personality in her own right, because she just had the it factor going like crazy.
And she was athletic too. I mean, she was in good shape and worked out and was, you know, just incredible. And she was over so big in that Attitude Era with the WWF, man. She was over big time.
Yeah, she really was. I mean,
sold a lot of merch.
I love
That's a good
it.
Way to put it. Oh, man. Yeah, who was buying the Sable merchandise? That's what I want to know. Was it the guys or the women? That's, you know, it's hard to come up with an answer for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But sure yeah, was that was, you know, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people who were just beginning their careers. You know, we're talking about Bagwell too. I remember seeing him in a tiny little federation in Georgia.
Yeah.
I forget what the name of that federation was. They had Nick Busick and all those guys. And yeah. I think it was just called Georgia Wrestling. I don't think there was any fancy name to it. And I remember seeing him wrestling in front of 35 people on television. And then the next thing I know, I guess somebody from WCW got wind of him. He was always a really good looking guy. And I'm sure that helped propel his signing with WCW.
Hmm.
And that hat he wore.
Yes. He used to wear that top hat.
He did. Yeah. That was kind of silly, wasn't it?
Like,
yes.
Like
what was that match that they did on a pole? What with that gimmick that Russo put together? And wasn't it like didn't have a pole match with his mother?
Yes, his mother was involved in something.
Something on a pole. I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
it was crazy, and they did a lot of crazy stuff with him and his mom when Russo took over the book over there and took over the creative with Bischoff.
Am I the only one that remembers when Bagwell took a bad bump on television? On live TV, and that was very scary.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he hurt his back or what, but he was literally immobile. Well, I think he fell off the ropes, and it was a really scary situation. And I got to give him credit. They stopped what they were doing, and they attended to him. And commercial break came and went, and they were still attending to him. So you knew it was real.
It was serious. You know, you knew it was real. Hey, all that stuff, I mean, you take a bad bump, as we all know, I mean – it's scary to watch. Like, what did any of you see what happened to Big E and
Big
the
E.
WWE?
Yes. Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, he landed squarely on his head. They give him a belly to belly suplex outside the ring, and he just landed on his head. He broke his neck.
I have to give a mini editorial here.
Okay.
Situations like that. Stop the match. You know, stop the match. The man's hurt.
And they finished it up, and they gave the, you know, there was a beatdown with his partner in the ring, and they were attending to him outside the ring, but you knew that he took a bad bump, but they should have just went to a commercial.
And the announcers did say that he's being attended to by medical personnel, but you know what? It drives me crazy. A man's hurt.
Yeah,
you know,
and Kofi Kingston was very concerned. You could see, you know, he was kept looking over there, but. Obviously, you know, they were still proceeding with the TV and didn't go to the commercial right away.
But, you know, that's just one thing I don't like about the wrestling business is that this is a time-honored tradition. When somebody gets hurt, they keep going. But, you know, he broke his neck.
Yeah.
You know, I don't agree with it. I know the show must go on. Please.
I think for me, one of the most gruesome injury I ever saw was Sid.
Your leg.
And you could see his leg just flapping. I mean, and that was
horrible.
That was.
That's right up there with what was it, Elway? A similar leg injury, or I forget
Joe
the
Theismann.
Quarterback. Theismann, that's right. Theismann just snapped his leg in a similar way, and it's hard to watch.
I get the heebie jeebies, man. Thinking
Sid
about
one
that
was brutal. I do remember, although I wasn't there, obviously, but years earlier, Killer Kowalski knocking off Moose Sholok's ear during a match. And I asked him about that numerous times, trying to remember to get a record of that. But basically, he said that his ear was so cauliflower that it would take a good slap and the ear would fall off. And it just happened to do that when he came off a rope and his shin sheared his ear and the ear was rolling in the ring. And he said, Walter, I remember saying, he looked at the ref. The ref looked at him saying, I don't know. What do you do? And they picked up the ear. They stopped the match. They put a bandage around Sherlock's head so they could try to stop the bleeding. And I remember Walter saying years later that after Sherlock lost his ear, he could see him walking down a Chicago street one day when it was windy. And because he was missing the ear, it was throwing his balance off. And Sherlock was constantly, as he was walking, trying to stay level, stay straight, and away from where the wind was blowing into it, the hole in his ear. And Walter just laughed like hell at him. But that was another thing. He said, I just saw the ear and rolling in the ring. What am I going to do? I kept it going. He didn't know what to do. You know?
Yeah, what a businessman.
The show must go on.
Yes. So what do we got? What do we got next, Bob?
Well, we got callers taking over. There's more trivia questions. And there's a lot of talk here about the now legendary Donahue show appearance.
Yeah, and I guess no matter how light of a subject matter I wanted it to be, it's still a lot of people were curious about it.
That was the 800-pound gorilla in the room. You couldn't really not talk about it for an entire hour because it had just taken place, right?
Yeah, and I was on it, so people were curious.
Well, here we go. Let's find out what the controversy of the week was. I shouldn't even say that. There was controversy every week, but let's go back to this particular moment in time.
But, of course, the calls are coming in rapidly.
Well, let's try and see what we got. By the way, Gary was just writing feverishly that address so he can get his game.
Yep. Beautiful.
I'm on the ball here, John.
Let's go to Mike from Staten Island. Mike, you're next.
Hey, John, how are you?
Okay.
I think I have the answer to the first trivia question.
Go ahead.
Is it Gorilla Monsoon and Bill Watts?
No, they're also tag team champions.
Yeah, got those special sound effects happening again tonight.
They lost another clue. The Monsoon and Watts held the belts and actually lost it to another bad guy team of Dr. Bill and Dan Miller, who are also on the list. So we're down to Serdan and Parisi, Morales and Backlund, Apollo and Perez, and the Tolis brothers.
Well, when we get to the 10th caller, we'll have a winner.
There we go. Thanks for your call. Bobby from the Bronx, you're next.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Okay.
John, I got two questions for you.
The first one,
this whole Hogan rumor that he's leaving, is this Vince McMahon's character coming out?
Vince McMahon's character? No, Hulk Hogan is going. He's going to be gone. WrestleMania is going to be his last match. They've been alluding to it on television, and it's going to be all over for the Hulkster. Next call, Peter from Flushing. You're next.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Okay, Peter.
Hey, last week, great show, great Impact show.
Tell me about it. I can't sleep over the show last week.
I just can't believe the people you got on that show and the credibility you injected.
Thank you.
Fantastic. I just want to ask you a question, and I want to make a statement. On the Donahue show, did you think Vince, you know, by expression, showed a great deal of guilt by all the questions that were being fired at him?
I tell you what, Vince was very, very nervous, appeared to me to be very nervous as we met right before the show. They brought him into the green room, so to speak, and Vince comes in and says, how you doing, guys? And stone cold silence. No one talked to him.
Okay.
But he was corrected. A lot of the statements he made on Larry King and then again going to the Donahue show, a lot of his false statements were corrected on the Donahue show.
That seemed like he was trying to take advantage of Bruno because Bruno was so excited. He was trying to say so much.
That's the thing, because you know? When the opportunity came about for Vince and Bruno to be in the same room, that opportunity doesn't come about too many times. And Bruno, of course, was trying to make the most of it, as everyone here was, everyone on that panel, because you don't get that opportunity very many times.
Well, last week I noticed somebody in your panel had made a statement. This is the worst time for Ric Flair to come along to the WWF.
I think I made that statement.
Yeah. Well, John, I love you, but I have to disagree. Because right now, with all the controversy with the steroids, what better man to take off the robe and see Ric Flair as a representative of the Federation, as a champion?
I agree in that sense, but as far as timing-wise, for publicity purposes, it was the wrong time for Flair to come in. I'm not saying he's, you know, I think he's an excellent champion, a great representative of the World Wrestling Federation and of wrestling in general, but his emergence in the WWF and winning that championship belt was certainly wrong timing because of the scandals that keep breaking in the press. The number to call here is 212-477-5610. Do you want to throw out another trivia question,
yep.
Mike?
We have two questions
make
up.
Make it easy for him.
Make it an easy one? Okay. This is simply name the wrestler. He's a former WWF Intercontinental Champ, former co-holder of the AWA Tag Team Championship, once claimed to be the world's strongest human being, and once managed by Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Okay.
Two tapes.
Two tapes for that one. All right. We're going to go to our next caller here. I don't know who's on the lines, but we're going to pick one, and we'll find out. Hi, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Who's this?
This is Adam from Levittown.
Okay. What can we do for you?
I have two questions. One for you, John, and then one for Gary Capetta. On the Donahue show, since you were on the panel, I didn't. I wonder if you noticed that in the audience was Tom Cole.
Yes, he was sitting next to Miss Elizabeth and Linda McMahon.
Yeah, Elizabeth was there, too. Did you see Ric Flair with her by any chance?
Nope.
Oh, just checking. Mr. Capetta, I have a question for you.
Yes, Adam.
What was the best match that you've ever been ringside for?
Oh, that's a real difficult question. I really couldn't answer that simply. It's been... I've been announcing for 18 years now, and that covers a lot of ground. It's tough. I would have to say, in the very recent past, that the Flying Brian Jushin Thunder Liger match has to rank right up there.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Rob from Glendale. Rob, you're next.
Yeah. The answer, Dino Bravo.
No.
Oh, it's not?
Nope.
I got one more question. Is it true that Randy Savage is leaving?
Not true as of this moment.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Number to call, 212-477-5610. 212-477-5610. I guess we'll give away some tapes in just a little bit. Maybe we should give who's the host of the show.
You're right. By the way, if I just mention before we take the next caller, I want to say hello to all the friends and relatives of Jay Rosenberg at The Wiz.
Yes.
Jay Rosenberg, who just got back from vacation, had a good one, has made arrangements to bring in all six wrestling classics plus the women's wrestling tape, and they'll be in every Wiz store in about a week. We sold out the last time out, and we're going to do a promotion, and there'll be more information about the discount sale pricing right here on the air in the coming weeks.
Now, I want everyone to listen to that, because The Wiz is coming on the show to sponsor it for a few weeks and talk about these great wrestling video cassettes. And you go out there and buy them, because it's sponsors like The Wiz that'll keep this show on the air.
Right. The tapes will be in the store in about a week, and you'll hear more about it here. As I said, we blew them out the last time. We want to do it again. Six volumes of wrestling classics for Rogers, the Kangaroos, the Wrestling Strangest Matches tape.
Chic.
And also Women's Championship Wrestling tape, with Gary Capetta announcing the first women's title match held inside a steel cage in North America.
Yep.
Wendy Richter.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones now. 212-477-5610. Joey from Brooklyn.
Fuck you.
Thank you very much. Very intelligent caller from Brooklyn. We'll go to Pat from Brooklyn. Pat, you're next.
I wonder if that was your plural.
Hi.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Okay, was the answer Pedro Morales and Bob Backlund?
No, they actually, that was a trick one I tossed in. They defeated Samoans for the belts at Shea Stadium, and then in two straight falls, and then gave the belts back after they won it. They just wanted to show they could win it.
Oh, all right.
Sorry about that.
Okay, Pat, thanks for your call. Number to call here, 212-477-5610. And I guess that's where 7-second delay really comes in handy. Okay. The number to call, 477-5610, and we will be here for another half hour or so. And we're going to go back on the phones. Jimmy brings us in a whole new list of names here. Thank you, Jimmy. Doing an excellent job here. We're going to go to Eddie from South Jersey.
Hi, John. How's it going?
Okay, Eddie.
Well, I want to answer one of the trivia questions.
Go right ahead.
How about Ken Patera for the other one?
Yes, Ken Patera is the man who was the Intercontinental Champion, co-holder of the AWA Tag Team Championship. So, for you, we have two tapes, Wrestling Strangest Matches, featuring a steel cage match with Randy Savage against Jerry Lawler, female midgets, mixed six-man tag, Detroit Battle Royal, and a Wrestling Classics featuring The Sheik versus Bobo Brazil, Antonina Rocca versus Hans Schmidt, and a tag team match in Gorgeous George coming your way.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Eddie, we're going to put you on hold right now.
Can I ask you one question, John?
Yes, go right ahead.
How was the pressure on the Donahue show when you saw Vince walk in? I heard he was surprised. You guys didn't even know he was supposed to show up?
Good question. Yeah, we did not know. He was asked to appear, and he initially declined and then agreed because Dr. D. David Schultz, Vince said, if we get Dr. D. David Schultz, if the Donahue people get Dr. D. David Schultz off the show, he would show up. Now, when we found out before the show that Vince was going to be there, everybody was excited. Everybody was happy because, you know, you want to have a forum where points can be debated back and forth. Like I said, the moment that we saw Vince for the first time was when Phil Donahue himself brought him in to the green room, and this was about 10 minutes before showtime, and Donnie was going to give us the ground rules for the show, and walks in with Vince McMahon, and like I said, Vince just looked at all of us and just said, "How you doing, guys?" And no one said anything back to him. You know, it was kind of cold silence. You could cut the tension with a knife.
How about when he was going to commercial, like during commercial, like when you're home, you can't see.
Yeah, well, basically what was going on, I was sitting next to Dave Meltzer, was sitting next to Vince, and Vince, during the commercial breaks, was just looking over to Dave and myself and just saying, you know, guys, I didn't know this was going on. You know, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this will clean us up. You know, if I honestly knew this was going on, I certainly would have done something about it. And he was trying to be as sincere as he could, but you could look right through him and see where he was coming from, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, anyway, we're going to talk all about this in our double issue of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight Weekly. And now I did a piece in the weekly coming up called Diary of a Madman, which pretty much focuses on the last 2 weeks that I've gone through and all the media people I've spoken to, the behind-the-scenes Donahue stuff. That'll all be coming up in the Pro Wrestling Spotlight Weekly in the next issue. And I think everybody out there who wants the inside information on what happened behind the scenes and how the schedule was for the last 2 weeks for me covering the story, everything is written in there.
Okay.
All righty.
Great. Thanks a lot, John.
Okie doke.
Let's toss out another Gary Capetta trivia question while people are calling in. Just name one wrestler who's repeatedly attacked Gary Michael Capetta while he tries to make his ring announcements. And we'll give two tapes for that one, too. Because there are some wrestlers that are out for him.
And I think I should get 5 tapes for being attacked so many times.
You should get more than that. Okay. I've seen you take some falls.
Okay, we're going back to the phones to Adam from Flushing. Adam, you're next.
Hi, good evening, John.
How are you doing, Adam?
I just had one question. I want to answer the first question also.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, was it the Tolles brothers?
No, they were the tag team champions. Tolles brothers held the belts in around 63 until they lost in early 64 to Argentine Apollo and Don McLarity. They won them, actually, in 2 straight falls from Gorilla Monsoon and Killer Kowalski in the Teaneck Armory.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now my question was, Nikita Koloff came back to the WCW, yet they won't tell you why. I was wondering if you knew.
I think he's going to come back to help Sting.
From what I know, he's not telling anybody. He hasn't declared his intentions. I think that either this week or next week, I forget which of the weekends it airs, WCW on their magazine break, they're going to show you the press conference once again, except this time they're going to show you the press conference in slow motion, highlighting Nikita's every action. And I think that when you see that, you'll have a better idea as to why Nikita Koloff has returned to WCW.
Okay. Number to call, 212-477-5610. We'll take a couple more calls before we go to the next commercial break here. Let's go to John from Brooklyn. John, you're next.
How are you, John? How you doing?
Okay.
I have a question, and I have also a take a crack at the trivia.
Go right ahead.
I don't know, maybe if you can answer this or not, but is there an organized crime factor in the WWF?
I have no idea.
I know there are allegations to that.
Yeah, the word made by Billy Graham here on this program back in January, but I don't even want to touch that question. I have no idea.
Yeah, okay.
Answer the question now.
Yeah, got to take a shot at the trivia question.
Sure.
Who constantly was after Gary Michael Capetta? Could it be from old days back in WWF?
Sure could be.
George the Animal Steel.
You got it. That's
all right.
Whoa. Okay.
All right.
And I hope this
green
guy
tongue and all, right?
Okay.
Green tongue and all, yeah.
I hope this guy didn't enjoy it, by the way.
No, Gary. You do a great job, Gary.
Okay, you got two tapes coming to you. Wrestling Classics featuring the Fabulous Kangaroos in 4 of the matches, and the Graham Brothers are on that, as is Bruno Sammartino. And Wrestling Classics featuring a 6-man tag team match, Rogers, Baron, and Maurice against Bobo Brazil, Sailor R. Thomas, and the Calypso Kid, Dory Dixon, as well as the Tolles Brothers match.
All
okay,
right,
we're going to put you on hold, and just give our man Jimmy your name and address, and we'll get these tapes out to you.
Is it just me, or did the 7-second delay not work all that well?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's what happened.
You know, every sports show in New York gets that. Even to this day, you'll listen to WFAN here in New York, the big Watt, sports network that we have here in New York City. And it's like they have to bleep out stuff all the time or just gloss over it, or you'll hear a gap in the show and then they return to it because it's like everybody calls and says something stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, once Russo starts his radio show and he develops his fan base, I start to get a lot of calls that are disparaging and obscene. So we'll have that to look forward to. But getting back to the that last segment, there was a couple things there. That last caller, I mean, he sounded, it wasn't, but Don, didn't he sound a little bit like Walter Kowalski? Little bit, tiny bit to me.
I don't remember. I wasn't listening in like that. I thought it would be him.
Yeah. No, it sounded a little like him to me. And the guy, Jimmy, that we keep referring to, that keeps bringing the callers in and might be playing the sound effects in there. That actually is the guy that that later became Matt Rat on, on Vince's show. And also Vince brought him to the WWF when Vince got hired there. Jimmy, the Matt Rat was, I remember meeting them and driving into town with them when we were doing the show, and Jimmy was there more often than not and to help out. And he's a fairly nice guy and all of that. But everything changes next week.
You know, on one of the tapes that Mike was giving away as a prize, where he said we have a tape with the Fabulous Kangaroos. One of those matches on there is when they were on the Comiskey Park in Chicago, the show where I was writing this down. Pat O'Connor wins the NWA title from Buddy Rogers, and it's an absolutely fabulous match with Rogers and O'Connor, and it was just so. I mean, Comiskey Park was full. It was night. The lights were on, and. Because, like I said, the Kangaroos were on there. I had known that because of Al Costello, my relationship with him. But seeing that tape, unbelievable match. It was just, like an hour long.
We had heard about it so many times, how classic that match was. And, Bob, did you ever see it? I mean, it was fabulous. Everything Don is saying about it is true. I mean, it was just the first time I saw that, I was just glued to the set. And I was like, this is freaking awesome.
You know, believe it or not, I've never seen that match. Wow. I gotta make it my while to check that.
I'm sure it's on YouTube, man. It's got to be on YouTube. Yeah. But it's like fabulous, and the quality was just phenomenal. And really? What a great match that was! Wow.
But you know, I have to give Mike Omansky credit because he was a legitimate bigwig in the music industry for sure, working with RCA and.
Overseeing the Elvis catalog.
Elvis catalog, yeah. And I think he did the wrestling stuff simply because he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really do. I get the feeling that was his number one deal, that he was bringing those tapes out because he enjoyed them. He wanted other people to see him. That was it.
Yeah.
Seems like a great guy. I spoke with him at least once, but I don't know if he would remember me, and I don't remember why I spoke with him. It might have been something he was working on with those tapes at that point.
Yeah, very classy individual, very smart guy.
Smart,
Very, 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 very cool person.
You're on your best behavior when you're around Mike because he makes you a better person in his presence.
Yeah, I think he's a professor now.
Follow him on Twitter or Facebook or whatnot, and I believe it's a Catholic college or something like that. Classy guy.
He responds a lot on to my Facebook, and because he never will make me live it down, the match I had with Dusty. And he comments on it because he was there. He was there in person, and everything he comments, every single comment that he sends to me has something to do with John Anthony and how I didn't fulfill my potential and what a shame it was that I never had a rematch and all of that.
You know, Johnny, you mentioned him being at the TV matches. People remember back in the 90s, particularly in the early 2000s, when ECW would have their taping at ECW Arena. And you could remember the people at the crowd there, the guy with the straw hat and the flower
sign
shirt.
Guy.
And it was when the TV came on, you recognized those people. It was the same thing really with the WWF TV from Philadelphia, particularly the front row. There was a gentleman and his wife who came from neighborhood where I live.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You remember his name?
I don't, but I met them the one time I went with you there to the tapings. In fact, he gave us a ride home.
Yes.
From Philadelphia. But what the same thing with the crowd in Philly, you could recognize the people once in a while. There was Richie Marchand, Walt Wolanski. A regular crowd of people on the camera where the hard camera was. So it was very comforting to recognize the same people.
That's true. I remember not knowing any of these people. I remember watching those shows and seeing the same faces in the same spots all the time. That's absolutely true. That's it. It's what gave those shows the flavor they had, you know?
Yeah. All those hardcore regulars.
I remember, I forget which arena it was, but one of the WWF arenas had this really rotund bearded gentleman on the left side of your screen, right? You know,
I think I remember who you're talking about. I remember seeing him. Yeah.
I mean, he was there for every single broadcast.
And of course, the garden shows, there was always George Ann. In the second row. Yeah.
Georgette Kruger from Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah. There was always that same crowd. It was crazy. It was great memories, man.
In later years at the Garden and everywhere else in the East Coast and elsewhere, Vladimir and his gang.
Yes. The Vladimir documentary, which is still sitting on the shelf of WWE that
nobody
they filmed.
Nobody can understand this.
Yeah, I think it was at Sundance Film Festival, too. They had played it there, but they played it one time at a film festival, and they just kind of buried it, and no one can understand why they haven't released it, because they put a lot of time, effort, and money into a documentary on the super fan Vladimir, and it is just sitting there. And Mike Johnson from PWI Insider brings it up a lot. You know, when are you going to air this? You know, the guy's not getting any younger, although he's, you know, in good shape and all of that. But
always was in great
shape. I mean, yeah, oh yeah. And but you know, you do a documentary on somebody, why don't you release it? You have the platform, you got Peacock there, put it out there.
I hope I'm not misremembering, but I got to know Vladimir a little bit because he was everywhere. He was ringside, first row for every show.
Yeah,
the East, it didn't matter where it was, he was there. It was ubiquitous. Yeah. And I'm talking to him, and I believe we had this conversation that he had a potential date scheduled and said, "I can't do it. It's wrestling night."
Yeah.
That's how serious he was about wrestling.
I think we all were very serious about wrestling at one point or another, where we probably would have, made our schedules around that. You know, another person you have to remember at all the shows was Black Jack Brown.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
You don't like me.
you couldn't miss Blackjack. He always had that outfit on.
The gloves and Captain Lennon.
And he was right next to George Napolitano all the time, Blackjack Brown, right? Hung out with George. To this day, they still do. And I saw him at WrestleCon in 2019. But he never liked me for whatever reason, you know. And
really?
He used to say some really horrible things about me.
How does this work? I don't understand anything. I don't get it.
Hey, it just some people just don't like you. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
I mean, he just never did, and I just never understood it, and I didn't give a crap. You know, it's like you don't like me. Big fucking deal.
Oh my!
No fuck.
Okay. Well, guys, we have I'm flabbergasted. Anyway, we have two more tiny clips here, shorter ones.
Yeah, and then an extra one. And then the bonus clip.
You're gonna bring us a clip at the end.
Yes.
So
I couldn't play the show without that bonus clip. Go ahead, Bob. Take it away.
Well, I want to do this clip because John's got a beef, y'all.
Oh, really?
John has a beef with this clip. I don't think so. I don't. You know, let's find out what John's beef is.
Oh yeah.
Mike from Brooklyn, you're next.
Johnny Rosie, Mike Lepore.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
All right, first of all, okay, the trivia question, of course, is the Grand Wizard. We all know that.
Okay, if you win, do say. And Gorgeous George against DeLeo DiPaolo.
Wow. Okay, they'll be going to some lucky winners at a lot.
Definitely. And John, I got to tell you, I called in because when I heard about the Johnny B. Bad, live thing there. Yeah, I'm going to, definitely, John, I got to come down because, you know, it's going to present a great photo opportunity for me.
Yes, it is.
So expect Elvis and Marilyn. Definitely will be down there that night.
Beautiful.
Should be some great pictures with Johnny B. Bad. And also, is Gary Michael Capetta there?
Yes, he is.
Gary,
Wait, did you just say Elvis is alive?
Something
You're
like
talking
this.
To him.
Oh, okay.
And
great.
Gary, yes. this goes back a while.
Yes, sir.
Your first appearance when Willie Gilsenberg had you announcing from ringside someone threw a hot dog and it landed on your glasses.
Uh-oh. Were you there?
Yeah.
Did you throw that hot dog?
No, it wasn't me, but I saw it.
What had happened was, I think it was the first night that I officially was announcing in the WWF, and one of the fans from ringside flipped a... Well, all I knew was that something hit my head, and I lost the eyesight of one of my eyes, and as it turned out, they had flipped a hot dog, which had lodged between my eyeglasses and my eyebrow.
Oh, man.
Slipped? Are you sure you weren't the guy that...
No, I swear to God it wasn't me.
Okay. You're my friend, then.
Yes, sir. And I just thought that was a little piece of trivia, just a little, you know, something. And also, I also remember way back when my father had seen it, and it should have brought up on Donahue that Bruno actually wrestled the monkey, and the monkey beat the daylights out of him, ripped his clothes to shreds and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Just what the hell.
That makes
All right,
my
John,
week.
I'll definitely see you at Press Box Cafe.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks. Scott from Port Jefferson Station, you're next.
Hi, I have a question for John.
Ken.
Hi, I heard around a month ago that there was supposed to be a special referee between the Hogan Justice match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was going to be Lou Ferrigno, who was with the WBF, but he's no longer with the WBF.
Oh, he left?
Yes, he did.
Oh, is Brutus Beefcake ever going to wrestle again?
No, I don't think so. And I think Brutus is not even with WWF right now. I think there were some problems with him, and he got suspended for one reason or the other. Thanks for your call. We're going to go to Josh from... Where are you for calling from, Josh?
Island Park.
Okay, what can we do for you?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Whatever happened to the Diamond Stud?
He's still around, isn't he, Gary?
Is this Big Josh? Are you calling from the North Woods?
No.
Oh, okay.
The Diamond Stud.
The Diamond Stud had surgery. He was injured, and he's recuperating in Florida right now.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Wait.
Oops.
I think Big Josh just fell off the mountain.
We are moving things here at a rapid pace. That's why we need 2 hours, you know. That's why we need new sponsors. And, you know, I hate to cry poverty like we do every single week there. But if you're a business, a man who owns his own business, if you like to advertise and reach millions of people, maybe not millions, but at least thousands and thousands of them, call us at the office and advertise and sponsor the Pro Wrestling Spotlight.
Or a woman that owns their own business.
And, of course, that's of course. There's that money that's just going out of our pockets every time we go on the air. It's just the thousand and change that we have to be here for an hour. You know, that's why we move so frantically, at a frantic pace here. You know, one thing, I have a beef, okay?
Go.
Covering all this stuff, all the publicity that we've gotten here, I think it's just ridiculous that I gotta pay money to be on the air.
You know, John, I think it's, John says it a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But the folks here in this area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and I guess that probably we go out farther than that also.
Seven states.
Don't realize that there are very few serious radio programs that devote an hour each week to professional wrestling. And John is on top of things here. And people will be complaining if, God forbid, he doesn't get the sponsorship to continue. So now is the time to give them that support. And
yeah.
I, for one, and I think WCW also supports WEVD 1050 and the Spotlight here.
It's just a rough go of it. It really is. And each week we don't know what's going on. You know, do we have enough money to go on this week? And, you know, I just don't know what to say anymore. It's just I may break down and start crying in a second. You know, the last few weeks have been just about giving me a nervous breakdown. Maybe that's going to be our closing theme for tonight. But anyway, folks out there, you know, we're going to take more calls. But I'm going to invite you. It's even too late to talk about the Booster Club. We got a lot of things to go over. Call us tomorrow at the office at 516-698-0109.
And there goes the number.
And there goes the number.
I you had a beef, John, and I can see why.
Yeah, you know, I always just lobbied, like, why do I have to pay for this? You know, you could have... It was just a brokered time slot, and that was the end of it. And no one was picking up a pro wrestling show, and it was just an ongoing situation. I never had the luxury of being on the air without paying for it, and it is what it is. It was what it was, but it was hard. You know, it was heartbreaking a lot of times, especially as we get into the summer months here. You know, we do have many shows consecutively, and then it all falls apart in the summer, and we got to go back to WNYG, which was not fun, but we'll be covering all of that. I do want to mention Michael Lepore, Reed, that called in the beginning. Did any of you guys know who this dude is? Michael Lepore.
I don't.
Okay. He's an Elvis impersonator, and he used to come to my conventions. And even before that, he was one of the original members of the Freddie Blassie fan club. He subscribed to me, and if Don brought it up, The Sopranos, when that episode where he ran into Big Pussy at the hardware store when Pussy was hanging out with the FBI guy because Pussy was an informant, and Michael was on that episode, and Big Pussy kills him during that episode.
Yeah,
so that's Michael Lepore, and Michael was a pretty interesting guy, and made his living a lot of his living with Elvis impersonating, and he used to bring around a Marilyn Monroe impersonator, and they both showed up at the live remote in a couple weeks. But Michael is somebody I've known since the 70s. When had the Blassie fan club, and there he was. He paid his dues, and he was a member of it. So he was a big Blassie fan, big Blassie fan. And I remember actually buying a Blassie ring outfit when Blassie was a manager, a nice orange sequined outfit from Michael at one of the conventions that I kept for many, many years and sold it a couple years ago. So anyway, that's my Michael Lepore story. Cool. But we're winding down here, Bob, to the end of the show.
John, you've piqued my interest here, so I think we should go with what you have for us now. I can't wait to hear whatever this is, because this is as our regular listeners know, I tend to pull the clips for the show, and that's what we use. But we're going to take a right turn on you, because John has a clip for us now.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of ironic. This was the last few minutes of the show, and no one knew. I didn't know that this would be the last week as having Vince Russo as a partner. I didn't know what was coming down the pike this week, but it got ugly, and we split up. But the ending of this show was kind of ironic. It's just kind of ironic of the closing theme that was played that Vince put up there. And so I'm going to play it for you guys, and then we'll discuss it on the other side. So anyway, here's the ending of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight from March the 22nd, 1992.
Now, you can get tied up pretty long at the office answering wrestling questions, Gary.
Well, did you say that we're going to be staying here and answering questions after the show?
Not answering questions, no. So we'll be giving out free copies of Pro Wrestling Spotlight Weekly.
Okay, because I see your board is still lit up. Fans want to talk to Scoop Arezzi.
Yes, so
John, I think the bulletin, I think you've done a terrific job. I think you and Vince Russo have really done a job on this thing. It is a great publication. You started it recently, and it's already up to the top of the sheets in the wrestling business. So I congratulate you guys. I like Vince's editorials, by the way.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure Vince appreciates that. I want to thank Gary Capetta for being here and Michael Mansky. I hate that we're so rushed, but also, if you want the latest wrestling information every single day, write this number down, 900-884-8910, 900-884-8910. That is the Pro Wrestling Spotlight information line. New scoops every day. $2 the first minute, $1.50 each additional minute. And don't forget to make your bus trip reservations, 516-698-0109. We're going to return next week with more Pro Wrestling Spotlight. Don't forget to give us a call at 516-698-0109. Until next week when we talk more wrestling, this is John Arezzi. We'll talk to you next week.
That's all, folks. Yeah, that's all, folks. That's all for the partnership with Vince Russo. That was the end of it. And that Looney Tunes ending, when I heard it, I was like, I got to include that on the show, because that was not the way we ever ended the show. And it was literally, that's all, folks. That was it.
For real.
That was it. That was all, folks. And then next week, it's really going to be an ugly show, man. It is my story of what happened during that week that led up to the split up and the conversation. I had Vince on the phone on a three-way with Muchnick, and it was incredible, the tension And even when I decided that was going to be it, I mean, I brought my brother-in-law down to Russo's office so I can get my stuff and just so he could be a witness. And Vince runs out of his own video store screaming. And I mean, it was not pleasant, man. But anyway, we have all of that to cover. We have all of that to look forward to, don't we, guys?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be so much fun, isn't it?
Oh.
It's going to be fun.
I feel for you, Gianna Rizzi, because that couldn't have been an easy time in your life.
Yeah, it wasn't. But just to kind of give people a preview before we wrap it up here, what's coming up on the podcast, I mean, the guests continue. I mean, I'm looking at the inventory right now, and these are shows I haven't heard for 30 years. But, you know, we have the Russo breakup, and then we cover WrestleMania 8, I believe it was. Then we have the live remote with Johnny B. Badd. But upcoming shows will feature Paulie Dangerously, The Z-Man, Jim Ross, Cactus returns as he typically does. Then we have a live remote from Scores, that notorious famous strip club in New York City. This was right before the change there. We had done a deal with Scores, and we have that live remote with Missy Hyatt, Jason Hervey, Sean Waltman, Alex Morvez on that one. And then we also have Fumi Saito, Bobby Davis, I mean, one of the legendary managers, Wendy Richter. I mean, so we have a lot of stuff coming up. So all I could say is that each and every week, as I talk about, you know, we're kind of the only show that has the audio to back up the history that we talk about. We have the guests. We have what happened in real time. Here at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight podcast. And gentlemen, once again, every week, it's always a pleasure to be hanging with you guys and talking about all of this stuff that took place when we were much younger.
John, it's a privilege to be here. I really mean it. It's great to be with you and Don every week, and Alex, and I'm having a blast, and I hope the listeners are too. That's the important thing. I hope that everybody that's taking in the podcast is having a great time hearing it.
Yeah, and I wish that everybody would share it. You know, I know we have an audience that's very devoted, very hardcore, very into what we do. And, you know, you wish that you could reach the masses, but what we're doing is such a niche show. I think that the people that listen to it and the people that are patrons, they really understand and appreciate what this show meant to them. And even the ones that didn't listen 30 years ago and are listening for the first time today, they get hooked on it and they love it. And we get great response. And we would love to keep growing this audience because we got a lot to cover in the pro wrestling business and the personal turmoil that it caused in my life. And even in Don's life, because he saw me go through it all, he was always there for, you know, oh, my God, Johnny, what's going on today? It's like, well, this is what's going on, my friend. There's a lot of talk like that. But anyway, we're here. We'll be back next week with another great show. So, guys, thank you very much, as always. And now it's time to wrap it up. This will wrap up this edition of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight. Wanted to remind you once again of the patrons. Please check it out, patreon.com, and that is /Gianna Rizzi. And we have a public page on Facebook. We have Twitter, just at Gianna Rizzi, Instagram at Gianna Rizzi. Signed a number of copies of the book Matt Memories is still available. Send me an email, john@mattmemories.com. We have auctions going up on Facebook on the auction site there, which is John Arezzi's Vintage Wrestling Auctions. And merchandise, we're going to have an update for you shortly. I talked to Christian Theodore from Forward Merch, and we're in discussions about some trading cards. But we're also I'm also in discussions, and I'm always very transparent with people I work with. And with Christian and the great job that he did, I mean, the merch is just at a site that's a wonderful merchandise site that handles concerts and Broadway shows, and they do fabulous business there and fabulous work. But wrestling fans, you know, don't really go to that site. So We started discussions with another couple of big wrestling merchandise companies about bringing our merchandise over to them. So there'll be more information on that as that develops. John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight is a production of Matt Memories, LLC. Our co-host is Bob Smith. Our producer and editor is Alex Robertson. Donnie Leibel covers the time capsule each and every week. The Pro Wrestling Spotlight's creative director is our friend Marsh. And thanks to the Patreon executive producers, Jeremy Priest and Matt Walsh, and all the patrons for your support for the production of this show. Until next week, when we relive more history with you, this is John Arezzi for the Pro Wrestling Spotlight.